You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 34 of Kyle.
Knockouts and three counts.
Yes, sir. I'm exhausted. I don't know about you.
Fuck yeah, dude. Fuck midnight.
It's been a long week. But we'll power through this. We have a great guest coming up. But before we get to our guest, let's go ahead and do that stuff that we do every week. Let's go ahead and throw those introductions out there. Let's start around the room. Let's see who we got here. You, Kyle, why don't you start off?
What's up, everybody? I'm Kyle Collison. You can find me at Kyle Collison on Facebook, on Twitter, and Instagram. You can find me at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit, N-O-K-O-U-T. Follow the Knockouts and Three Counts podcast page on Facebook, at KO3CPod.com, at KO3CPod on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, let's see who else we have in the room. Randy! Why don't you go ahead and throw your social media out there?
Hi. I push the buttons to make things go.
And he does a good job, too.
Follow me on Twitter at Randy Walker or on Instagram at Randy Walker 83.
He pushes the big red button when they tell him not to.
Don't you dare put that on him. All righty. And hopefully Mr. Thunder will be calling in. But until then, I'm Devin McKenzie. You can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can hit me up on Instagram at AllSteakNoSizzle. That's one word. And make sure you check out the Reality Era news page on Facebook where we talk wrestling. Go ahead and join the group, and we will add you. So, if you need a car, I can do this because Tony's not here, and don't you dare. If you need a car, make sure you check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. Once you check out the cars and see which one you want to buy, you go there and use the reference code 19309. That's 19309, and you will receive $500 off on your purchase. Wow.
1939.
Fuck you, man.
I was waiting for this.
Anyway, Mr. Collison, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guests?
So over the phone with us, we have Drew Allday Murray. He's getting ready to fight Darius Estelle for Warrior Extreme Cage Fighting June 15th, Southgate Civic Center Arena. How you doing, brother man?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Not too bad.
Hey, Drew, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media out there and any sponsors you need to promote, sir?
All right. Facebook, you can find me at Drew Murray, M-O-R-A-I-S. Instagram is Drew_Allday_Murray, and then Snapchat's Allday145. I don't mess with Twitter too much. Not really my thing, but those three you can find me on and follow me. And then Snapchat, I highly suggest you follow me on. I have a pretty eventful life.
Oh, God.
Any sponsors you need to promote?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to shout out to everybody he earned. Anthony LeBron makes all my gear for me. Grizz Outdoor Adventures. Actually, one of your guys, it's also another podcast. I like to shout out to Bobby and Andrew Watson.
Yep.
All those guys.
They're past guests of the show with us.
Yep. They're my training partners as well. So, shout out to those guys. And also to Anthony Flores Realty. And, of course, my gym, Fuse MMA, best team in Michigan.
Hell yeah.
And, yes, sir. And that's about it.
All righty, Kyle, why don't you go ahead and kick this off, man?
So since we started with training, you just let the cat out of the bag. We both trained with Big Don out at Fuse. You've been how many fights now have you been over at Fuse?
My last four.
Gotcha. And you've been on a 4-fight win streak.
Yes.
That pretty much puts proof in the pudding. So what do you like about Fuse as opposed to some of the other places you've trained? Like what's different about the atmosphere there or coaching or training partners that has made your run here at Fuse, seem to flourish so much?
Everywhere I've trained, all of them had great fighters and great coaches. I can't say one bad thing about anywhere I've trained, but the biggest thing was finding somewhere that fit for me and having a coach that I connect with. And me, Don and I connect very well. We just got the same mindset, we just click on the mental level, and he knows how to push me mentally. I think when I was first starting my pro career, my biggest downfall would have been my mental toughness, which was weird because, you know, growing up, I was always really mentally strong. And then over the course of time, I don't know what really happened mentally. You know, maybe just things weren't going right in my life situation. Okay, it was just, you know, rolling over to the MMA aspect. You know, since I switched to Don, you know, and I moved some things around in my life, you know, that everything just started clicking, you know. And, you know, with the training partners, you know, I got some of the best, you know, Bobby Nash, Marcus Molden. I'm having a brain fart.
Marco Smallman, all those guys.
Yep, Bob. Marco Smallman, you know, and full of just savages, man. And, you know, we come in, and, you know, we're a team. You know, we always got to help each other out for every fight. And, you know, we grind hard and we get the work done.
So you've been on a 4-fight win streak. You had a big win in Boston here a little while ago. You know, now that you're on a win streak, tell us a little bit about your fight you've got coming up here. You've got Darius Estelle, and from what I've seen on Facebook, man, this dude is talking a lot about just cleaning you out. Like, is there beef there, or is he just promoting the fight?
If there was beef, I didn't know about it. but, you know, I mean, he does that with all the fights. You know, to me, it's just words. It don't matter to me. You know, regardless,
you're going to have to fight anyway.
So, to me, it doesn't matter. You can say what he wants. We're still going to fight. So, and at that point, when that bell rings, all talking is out the window. It's time to fight.
Hell yeah, so, man.
And I'm not one to talk. You know, talk crap. I'll joke around on Facebook and stuff. But when it comes to fight time, I don't talk trash. I don't talk about my opponents. I don't really even focus on them. My mindset, I don't focus on them. I focus on myself. And to me, it's not a big deal.
That's where it needs to be, man. Cause I feel like when you see a lot of these guys, when they get caught up in the trash talk, that's when they get taken out of their game. Like, I think the best example I've seen of that recently was when Cody Garbrandt and Dillashaw fought, because I feel like he was trying to knock Dillashaw's freaking head off and ended up getting caught himself
a little bit. Yeah.
You know, that's just me.
Yeah. You know, those people don't, they have like a real beef, you know, that goes back.
Oh yeah.
And they train together and you know, all that. So that's real beef right there, you know. And you know, like I said, I mean, every time I've seen Darius, you know, it's always been respectful, you know. And I'm assuming he's throwing a fight. I mean, he may not like me. I don't know. I can care less. But you know, like I said, it is what it is. And come the 15th, we're gonna fight. So
have you ever been a person that talked trash, or has that kind of always been your mindset? You just take care of business and focus on what your game plan is?
Not really. I mean, like I said, I'll joke, like, when I'm not, like, fighting during for fight, I'll joke around on Facebook and stuff and talk trash, like, you know, like, not, like, seriously, but just kind of, like, kind of troll a little bit,
right,
you know? But when it comes to fight time, like, I focus on the fight. Like, I don't feel a need for it to help promote. I think the fight should sell itself. I mean, Darius and I are going to be a great fight. It's two high, very high level guys going at it. And I think that itself, like getting the fans excited, I think this is probably one of them, from what I've seen, is one of the fights that everybody's most excited about on this card, you know, and I'm excited for it. So.
Right. And that's going to be June 15th in Southgate for Warrior Extreme. Definitely looking forward to, well, actually I might not be able to make that one, but.
You'll be in Chicago.
Yeah, I'll be in Chicago.
Yeah, I will be at the fight because work is bullshit and I can't get on a plane until after I work Saturday morning. But yeah, I'll be in the building. I'm sure Bobby and the guys from Cage the Cave will be there as well. WXC always puts on good fights. Another fight they got on there that I'm looking forward to seeing is you've got Justin James, that's originally from here, from Michigan, that's fighting in the main event against Devin Brown. I used to train with him back at MASH back when him and Crookshank and Miles and Don was still fighting and everybody. So, like, he's been around the game for a long time.
Man,
yeah, I grew up with Devin.
Yeah, I was about to say, Devin Brown's a pretty good fighter. I know I've seen him before.
Yeah, Devin, I know Devin since he was a little kid. We grew up, same wrestling club, same high school wrestling team. We grew up together, you know. I mean, I'm a little bit older than he is, but I watched him grow up, you know. And he's a tough son of a bitch. I don't know if I can say it or not. Yeah, but,
dude, we swear plenty.
Hey, say whatever the fuck you want, man. Go ahead. Shit.
I do cuss, but Devin's tough, man. You know, he's been battle tested. So is James, though. That fight, you know, usually I leave after my fights, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to stay for that one.
That fight's going to be a good fight to watch. Hopefully these fights run semi on time.
So wait, so Drew, let me ask you about that. You know, I've been to a few fights, you know, in the area here in Michigan. Kyle's been to a lot more than me. How has the MMA scene here in Michigan changed from when you started watching fights here up until now? Has it gotten better, worse? Your opinion.
It's far more, in a sense, organized. And, you know, like back in, I think I made my debut in 2008, I believe. 2007, 2008, somewhere in that area.
Was that back in the XCC days?
Yeah, I made my debut for XCC.
Holy shit.
I had my first, like.
You poor bastard.
I don't have a problem with XCC. They took care of me. So, I mean, I can't talk bad about someone who took care of me, you know?
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I Matt helped me eat a little bit, you know, I guess that is what I could say, you know, and
yeah.
Since all the sanction thing happened, you know, you see it's a little more organized, but it's a little bit not, you know, right now we shouldn't be, but we still kind of in that trial period, I guess you could say, trying to like work the kinks out, which by now you think we would have it, but you know, but it's going to take time, you know, Rome wasn't built overnight. It's going to take time. And right now I like the path we're on. But, you know, I know a lot of people are having issues with the state, you know, with the different things. But that's part of the game. You know, not everything's going to go perfect.
So to piggyback off of that, you know, what are your thoughts now that, like, for a long time it just seemed like – for a long time it seemed like we all knew that there were guys that were UFC caliber that were here. But now that you're starting to see, like, an influx of a few of them get there, like one of our teammates, Bobby Nash or Miles Jury or ABC Bobby Cooper – you know, you've got, mm-hmm. you know, all these names that are coming out of there. Like, you know, what does that do for you guys that are on the local pro scene to see that, okay, now you can actually make it out of here in Michigan? Darren Cruikshank, all those guys. Cody Stamen, past guest of the show, too.
Absolutely. And then we got, you know, Kevin Lee as well. He's a Michigan guy originally.
Yes, sir.
What's his name? Al Kuke, whatever. He was a Michigan guy at one point. He's from Michigan originally. There's quite a few Michigan guys, but a lot of them traveled out. The thing is, it's like, now the UFC is starting to see that the Michigan boys can fight, you know, and that's huge, you know, with Cody and all that make it to UFC. Cody is killing it in UFC right now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's huge
Hell
for
yeah.
the smaller guys for us, you know, like, you know, like us, on, you know, kind of still in the regional scene. Cause it's letting them, you know, it's putting us on notice too, saying, hey, we see some scrap from Michigan. Let's check out some more of them, you know, and that's awesome. You know, and I think that a lot of people don't give Cody and all the other UFC guys, you know, the respect they deserve on that matter, because like they're opening the door for us, you know, and I think that's awesome.
Well, I got another question for you that goes off of that. Like, you know, like you mentioned, like Cody's trained other places, Miles left and went to Cali. Who's the other guy we saw when we were at the UFC Detroit? What's his name?
Jakar Close.
That's it. Yeah. A lot of those guys, you know, have all left and went other places, you know, like, it's so funny to me when I see these guys like hate on people because they didn't stay in Michigan. Like, I don't know, man. To me, like, the way I see it is the same way, like you said. It's like, it's a business, dude. If you feel like you need to go somewhere else to go try to get some other training, or they, like in Miles' case, where they want to bring you out there to go train with those guys, I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't. I don't see how a lot of people go, well, oh, he's not a Michigan guy anymore. And I mean that like across the board. Like, it seems like anytime somebody leaves the Michigan area, like people just automatically start getting salty. And I don't know, to me, I've never understood that. Like, I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Well, when it comes down to that, it's just like, okay, at the end of the day, this is about you. You know, it's not about, you know, and I hate to say it that way, but it's the truth. It's about you. It's what you got to do to make yourself better and get to where you want to go for your goals, you know? And if people can understand that, then that's shame on them, because that's what you, it's what you feel is best for yourself, you know? And like you said, Miles had to leave, you know, but he comes home and trains, you know, but he you know, stays in Cali, or recently has he been in Colorado, I think.
Yeah, I know he's out at I know he's out at Alliance right now, but I mean he's living back in Michigan again. The reason he's been out there is he was helping Jeremy Stevens get ready, and now he's getting ready to fight Chad Mendez. So shout out to Miles
too.
That's
gonna be a good fight. I'm excited for that one. Yeah,
hell yeah.
You know, you know, I respect the fact that they leave, but I also respect the fighters that stay as well. You know, Darren is a prime example. You know, Darren is on a tear himself and probably one of the most exciting fighters, in my opinion, to watch. And he said, you know, he's had chances to leave Michigan. He says, no, this is where I started. This is where I'm going to end, you know. And I think that's awesome, too, you know. But that boils down to Darren thinks that Darren feels that's what's best for him. Yeah. And that's what matters.
Exactly. And that's how I've always seen it. Like, I feel like if you feel like you need to leave, do what you got to do. But I don't think that makes, and I mean that for everybody, because I've heard that with more than just Miles. Like, I've heard it with Miles. I've heard it with Cody before, because Cody's done stints out there. Like, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, dude, you got to do what you got to do. And it's like we've talked about on our show a lot of times, man. Like, people don't understand, like, fighting is different than when you're playing football and all that other stuff. Because, I mean, you can have the best coaches in the world, but at the end of the day, dog, you're getting locked in a cage or stepping in a ring, and they can't save you. So if you feel like something you need to do in your training is different, needs to be different, then that's what you got to do. Because at the end of the day, the only one you can blame is yourself.
Absolutely. You know, we're the one locked in there, like you said, you know. And, like, if a coach and I don't click, I have to find something different, because – you know, we got to be on the same, you know, wavelength when we're coming to the fight. You know, I got to know what he's thinking. He's got to know what I'm thinking. You know, we got to be on the same page every step of the way, you know. And if you can't find that, you have to find somewhere else, because you're literally wasting time. And, you know, and this is a sport that you got to take advantage of every bit of time you got, you know, because it can be gone just like that.
Right. Hey, Drew, quick question, and I got a follow-up question after that. Did you get a chance to watch UFC 224 last weekend, Amanda Nunes versus Raquel Pennington?
No, I did not. I did not watch that. I heard what happened, you know, and I know what happened, you know, but I didn't get to watch it. I forgot what I was doing. I think I had my kids, and I was just spending time with them, but yeah, I didn't get to watch that. I heard what happened, though.
Right. Well, that's kind of what I wanted to touch on. We didn't really dive into it on the show, but you were talking about coaching. And it's a little bit of controversy for those that don't know. Raquel Pennington, after the fourth round, went to her corner. The round was getting ready to start, and she looked back at her coaches and said, I'm done. But her coaches, mm-hmm. you know, convinced her to go back out there and continue fighting. And, you know, Nunes went ahead and finished her off with some ground and pound. So, as a fighter, your coaches are there to your coaches are there, you know, to, you know, encourage you and you know, give you those words of encouragement and, you know, advice. In that situation, would you want your coaches to, you know, send you back out there, or would you want them to throw the towel in for you?
Nah, so make me go back out there and let me go on my shield, you know. We're warriors. That's what we do, you know. And I feel like her coaches knew she had more in her, you know. And that's what comes with the whole being on the same wavelength thing, you know. She might have thought she was done, but she was just mentally, you know. You get, you know, your mind will carry you a lot further than your body thinks it can go, you know. And she was just having a mental lapse, I think, you know. And she went back out there. She did her thing. So kudos to her, you know. She didn't win, but she got back up there and went another round when she didn't think she could. You know, that shows, you know, that, you know, she ended up saying somewhere down the line that, you know, that she doesn't disagree with what her coaches did. You know, I don't either, you know, but like I said, her coach knew that she can keep going. Like she's been through worse. She can keep going, you know, and I don't disagree with it, you know, and it's, I don't know. I'm not in their gym. I don't know what they got going on, but
right.
That's, you know, she can go, she obviously did, you know, she had it in it to go back out there and do it, you know. And I think I didn't see the fights. So I don't know how bad she was getting beat up or anything like that.
Oh, it was pretty bad.
But
it was pretty
bad. Her leg looked like she got beat up with a baseball bat.
It was pretty bad. But I think what it was more of a, I think her coaches would kind of tell her that, I know that you won't forgive yourself for not going back out there. Type of thing.
Especially because it's a title fight, man. Exactly. Like, the chances, like, title fights don't just get passed around like that. So I would, if it were me, like you said, I mean, and Devin and I talked about this because he came out when I competed in the Michigan Open last year or whatever, but I've boxed a couple times and things like that too.
Kyle fought before.
Yeah. But dude, like like you said, dude, I mean, what the fuck? Like, I mean, if you're in there, I would much rather go out that way than go out because somebody threw in the towel. Like, I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah.
But that being said, we've got a fucking run in, as you could hear who laughed when Devin was talking shit. Who's the motherfucker on the phone line?
What the fuck you think it is, man? It's Tony motherfucking Thunder. Follow me on Facebook at Tony motherfucking Thunder. Instagram is Tony motherfucking Thunder. I'm Tony motherfucking Thunder at Kyle's mom's house. Everywhere.
Whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
All right, we got Tony Thunder on here. Tony, we got Drew, who's going to be fighting on June 15th in Southgate.
Drew all day?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Drew all day. And Tony, you got anything you want to chime in with real quick, or you want us to keep rolling for a second?
I mean, go ahead and do y'all thing. I just wanted to say, I'm Tony Thunder. That's it. I'm here.
You want to say you were Tony Thunder or Tony motherfucking Thunder?
Well, I think he's established it was motherfucking Thunder already. He said it about 10 times.
It's like motherfucking Thunder on every other Tuesday. But no, man, I just heard y'all talking about the recent fights and stuff was going on. I do my homework on the guests, unlike these two.
Hey, I did my homework, thank you.
You're a liar and you don't love Jesus. let me tell you what kind of homework I done did. You know what I mean? You just recently had a kid, right, Drew?
Yes, sir. Yep, I just had a son 4 months ago today, actually. And
oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Does that change your dynamic on how you look at fights that, you may get injured or, going back to your son not being 100%, does it change your mindset or your mode of fighting when you go into fights?
No. Nope. I know there's always, I know what I'm risking when I walk in there. It's the hurt game part of it. It's not my first kid, so I've been through this before, and it's just, yeah, of course I want to come out completely healthy, get back to my kids. But like I said, it's part of the business. We know what we're risking when we step in there.
Right. Well, I mean, does it motivate you more or is it something that's
absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, motivating. I want to, give them a better life, and if it comes with the risk of me having to take a couple bumps and cuts along the way, then so be it.
Okay. Now, I know that you've been doing this for a while, King of the Cage, WXC. If I said that wrong, I messed it up. I don't have all my information in front of me. But I do know that coming this September, you'll be 30. Do you look at younger guys any different or as opposed to when you were younger coming up in the game, or do you just go in the ring or go in the octagon or go in the cage with the mindset of not putting anything past anyone?
No, I mean, with this younger group that's coming up, those guys are far better than I was when I was their age. You got these 17, 18-year-old kids coming up, and they're far better than I was at that age. I think it's great how the sport's growing in that aspect, But when it comes to coming to fight time, I never overlook anybody. They can have 40 losses and no wins, and I'll still go out there and train and fight them like I'll fight everybody else. It's anybody can get caught, anybody can lose at any given time in this sport.
Absolutely. Kyle and Kevin, did y'all get lost or something? I don't hear you.
I was letting you go. Hot damn.
He was letting you roll, man.
Was letting you roll.
I'm just shocked. He said he did his research. He really did. He knew when I was turning 30.
I'm going to say, you got research and notes, man.
That's what I do. I do my research, man. And, with you, being from Michigan, and being a Michigan, we all Michigan guys here,
Yes, sir.
You went to Muskegon. Is that correct?
Yes, I wrestled at Muskegon in college.
Okay. Well, did you study anything in particular or?
Business management.
Oh, nice. Does it help with what you're doing as far as promoting yourself or marketing yourself in this business?
Yeah, to an extent. It comes to the marketing aspect, it helps with that. I did about 2 semesters at college and then I'm getting hurt and then it cost me more money to be out there. So I had to come home and wow. I didn't get to finish my degree, but that's something I'm looking forward to doing after fighting. you know, once this gets this door closes, that's something I'll be looking to get into going back to school when I have a little more free time.
That brings up another good question. You talked about having, you know, your degree with business and things like that, or going to school for business, sorry. But with the change that we've seen in Michigan MMA, like, do you think that it's made things more, not on the up and up, but more smooth with negotiations and all that kind of stuff when it comes to the different promotions? Because I know back in the day, man, like, it just seemed like there was always some bullshit, like, through the pro scene and stuff. Do you think that the sanctioning, Michigan being sanctioned now, has helped with that kind of stuff too?
Yeah, you know, like, when it comes to the sanction, like, when it comes to, like, negotiations for the fight purses and so on and so forth, the state doesn't really get involved in that as much, as far as I know. That is between, like, us and the promoters. When it comes to that, I don't handle any of that. I let my team do that for me.
Nice.
I shouldn't have to focus on that. I should be focused on fighting, you know. And like, I know when I'm getting played, you know, if it's not worth the money, or, you know, I'm not stupid, you know. So, I mean, especially in boxing, I seen that a lot when I was boxing. You know, they're talking, oh, this kid's not that good. You know, 800. I look him up. Dude's like a couple time national champ. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I ain't like you play me like that. You know, I need way more money than that if you want me to box this dude, you know. But there's some promoters that try to squeeze you for the littlest bit of money they can, but you've got to do your research, you know, and let your team handle the business. But they're, you know, you got to do what they pay to do.
Having fought in both boxing and MMA, though, like, what made you make the full switch over to MMA? And, like, is there anything from boxing fights that you miss now that you're doing MMA?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed. Yeah, I'll probably box again. You know, right now my main focus is MMA. You know, I got a good streak going. I put my focus on that. The only reason I really said it, I boxed amateur before I did amateur MMA. And then once I got hurt, and I tore my knee on my ACL. And as I was coming back, you know, I couldn't really wrestle. So I was like, I'm going to do some pro boxing matches, you know, just kind of stay in shape, get some money, you know. And I started with that. And I haven't boxed in, like, I don't know, 3 years, maybe. I don't even remember the last time I boxed. But right now my focus is on MMA, you know, but boxing helps out a lot. You know, obviously with the stand-up, you know, a portion of it, you know, with the hands and stuff. And, you know, I still box, you know, 3-4 days a week, you know, out of my hometown in Monroe, where I started. Still work with the same boxing coaches I had when I was 15, you know. And it's just, I don't know, it helps, you know. A lot of times you see people, me being more of a wrestling base, you know, I got to have the hands to set up my takedowns. And then if I can't take them down, I got to have the hands to back up the rest of the fight, you know. So it's, one feeds into the other very well.
Nice. Well, we've got to go to a break here soon. So before I do that, before we get there, you know, tell us a little bit more about your fight with Darius, you know, like, how you see it going, like, what, how do you like the matchup?
I like the matchup. He's tough, man. He's very tough. He's very skilled, explosive, hits hard. You know, it's not going to be an easy fight. You know, and if I thought it was an easy fight, I wouldn't have took it. You know, I've always fought tough dudes. So, you know, I pride myself on that, fighting good competition. You know, because I feel like it makes me better as a fighter and also better as a person. It makes me stronger in the long run, you know. And I'm trying to be the best me, you know. And I think it helps me in both aspects of fighting and in my personal life as well. With the matchup, you know, obviously I see myself winning. How I'm, I don't know, any way I can. So,
hey, man, you know, that's the best way.
I gotta do. So, but like I said, he's tough, man, you know, and I'm excited for this matchup, you know. And yeah, it's going to be a banger. I already know, you know, he comes to fight. You know, he's not going to shy away from a scrap, and that I'm looking forward to.
Your brother trains over there with him, doesn't he? Because he's over at Michigan Top Team.
Yes, but for this fight, my brother has not been training there. Just so there's no
conflict of interest.
No conflict of interest, you know, whatever, you know, because my last opponent was an MTT guy as well. You know, and but you know, what are you gonna do? You know,
I mean, there's only. I mean, at the end of the day, like you talked about at the beginning of the show, man. Like, it's getting to a point where you've got about three or four main gyms that are in there. You've got Fuse, you've got Michigan Top Team, you've got Mercy Lago, you've got Scorpion Fighting Systems. At the end of the day, chances are, if you're trying to fight somebody tough, the vast majority of them are going to come from one of those four gyms. So at a certain point, you already kind of know, at least in the Michigan area, that's where that's coming.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and yeah, a lot of people say they think it's weird that my brother and I train at different places, but he feels that's his best for him, and I feel he's his best for me. So, I mean, at the end of the day, that's how it goes.
Hey, Drew, we're going to take a break here in a little bit. You want to stick around and talk a little bit of wrestling with us, man, or are we got to let you go?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit of wrestling. I know a little bit.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, we'll take a quick break, probably about, 3 minutes? About a three-minute break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of MMA business and wrestling. So we'll be right back after this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back from break, and
we'll be back.
You know what? Since we didn't get to make the proper introduction, Mr. Thunder, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media and make your plugs real quick, sir?
Plugs, electrical socket, the plug on the cocaine, the plug on the weed, the plug on the lean, the plug on the ecstasy. Hit my line. I got two phones, one for the plugs and one for the...
The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the owners, broadcasters, advertisers of Podcast Detroit.
Or Devin McKenzie.
What they do, though.
Or
what they do, though.
Damn. They're going to throw us off the air.
No, the views and opinions expressed on Tony Thunder is not necessarily those of anybody in charge of this. All right, my social media, find them on KLC3pod.com. Shout out to producer Randy. Producer Randy, give everybody your social media because I know they didn't let you early.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
No, we took care of that, man.
They did.
We looked out for Randy.
Producer
right.
Randy. That's what's up.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
I kind of want to rent a wrestling ring. How do I do that, sir?
You want to rent a wrestling ring? Is it your bar mitzvah? Is it your birthday? Is it Jesus' birthday? Is it your mom's birthday? Is it Mother's Day? Is it Father's Day? Is it Ramadan? Don't matter. Rentawrestlingring.com. Tell him Tony Thunder sent you. And even though Merle claims he listens to the show, I don't think he does. So shout out to Merle anyway. Rentawrestlingring.com. They support the Rat Pack, and the Rat Pack supports them.
Bam. And Drew, one more time, would you go ahead and throw your social media out there, any sponsors, and what you got coming up June 15th?
June 15th, I'll get you a win. June 15th, Darius Estelle, WXC, Southgate, Michigan. Facebook, find me at Drew Murray, M-O-R-A-I-S. Instagram, Drew_allday _Murray. And then Snapchat's allday 145.
And don't forget your sponsors, man.
Oh, sponsors. I always forget them, man. I put in every brain freeze. Chris Outdoor Adventures, every victory you earn. Big shout out to Bobby and Andrew over there, man. The podcast's awesome too. I should be on that one tomorrow. And who else? Anthony Flowers Realty.
You still with training left?
Huh?
You still with training left?
Not for this fight. No. Nope, not for this fight. Okay.
All right, we'll edit that part out.
Nope.
No, we won't.
Oh, yeah, we won't.
I'm too lazy.
But, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit of wrestling, but I kind of wanted to mix two topics into one. I don't know if everybody knows this, but UFC just signed a deal with ESPN to do 15 fights starting in 2019. Those fights are going to be on ESPN Plus, which is their new subscription service, which I believe is going to be $4.99 a month, and they're going to do 15 live events. And also, WWE just announced that, well, I don't know if it's 100% official, but they're going to be partnering up with Fox.
Moving to Fox.
Yes, and SmackDown will be on Fox, while Monday Night Raw will stay with the NBC Universal family and staying on USA. So I wanted to partner these two up because you got some major deals, major movement going on here. UFC is actually still trying to negotiate with Fox as well to have some of their other events on Fox programming as well. So, Tony, you're the wrestler in this on this show, man. Your thoughts on this movement, either on the UFC side or the WWE side?
We talked a little bit about the UFC thing last week. I don't think it's a bad idea, you know. Again, you know, there are stream sites out there hitting you up for that low key. I don't want to get my sights taken down by saying them on air. But,
please,
you
not.
Know, you're getting that hot stream one time. As far as the WWE side of things go, man, it's funny how people always talk smack about Vince and how he's so out of touch with the business and the business is going down. Wasn't that like a multi-million dollar, almost a billion dollar?
It was. It was billion dollar. Like,
yeah, 1 billion, 5 year, $1 billion. It's $200 million a year for the next 5 years.
Vince McMahon could have five people in the audience cheering for Roman Reigns and be a billionaire. You think he cares what you think, Kyle?
Whoa, why is it got to be Kyle?
You tired of hearing?
Whoa.
You think he tired? No, I'm fucking with you.
I was about to say, damn. Like, I was the one saying that people need to chill out with that shit.
Yeah, man. I mean, it is what it is. You know, people go always talk smack. There's always going to be people who hate Vince McMahon because of the attitude error. You were conditioned to hate Vince no matter what he wants. If he wants Roman to be the top guy, you hate Roman. If he wants John Cena to be the top guy, you hate John Cena. If he wanted Daniel Bryan to be the top guy, I remember for that little while, they started booing Daniel Bryan. So, you know, you can never make WWE fans happy as a whole because they're split and divided. So them going to Fox makes some people happy. Them going to Fox makes some people upset. I mean, either way, it's going to be on your TV. So why do you care?
Drew, you got any comments about the WWE move or the ESPN UFC deal?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about money, isn't it? You know, and
yeah.
Like he said, if you're making that much money, who gives a shit anybody else thinks? So, I mean,
hey, man, I couldn't agree more. Like,
I mean, when it comes to, like, the, you know, the UFC thing, I don't know. I mean, that's pretty cool, I guess. But, I mean, it's like we got to pay for another thing because, you know, I got to pay for the Fight Pass and whatnot, you know, and then you got to go for UFC Plus, which I guess is cool because it gives us more exposure, you know, throughout the world.
Right.
But, hold on, sorry, guys. I'm trying to make my baby's bottle and talk to you guys at the same time.
No, that's cool.
but I'm trying to get the day ready for tomorrow. But, yeah, I mean, the WWE thing, you know, I haven't followed wrestling in years, man, but, you know, I always liked watching it. I mean, I was more of a WCW fan when I was younger. You know, I followed it when I was really young. You know, I had all the figurines and all that, you know, and the ring and all that cool stuff. It was always cool watching growing up, you know, but I don't know. As I got a little older, it wasn't my thing anymore.
You know,
WCW was mostly known for, well, what I remember WCW mostly for, besides the NWO, is their lucha, you know, their cruiserweights. And I know you mentioned during break that, speaking of cruiserweights and 205 Live, that you wrestled with a current WWE superstar, Mysterio. Is that correct?
The champion, wasn't it?
Yeah, sir. I wrestled with Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, he's currently the cruiserweight champion right now.
Yeah, he just won a couple months back from what I've seen on his Facebook.
Yeah, he had a match that was one of the better ones on WrestleMania, too, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
And, seeing stuff like that's cool. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Absolutely.
Yeah, seeing stuff like that's pretty cool.
One up there.
Yeah, it's like, you know, somebody who knew, like, somebody I kicked it with in college, you know, and comes on to be the, you know, the WWE, you know, champion, you know, I was like, that's sweet, you know, like, big, big shout out to Cedric for doing big things out there.
Any interesting stories or details or anything that could be clickbait to help our show that you could tell about Cedric Alexander?
I'm not even going to put myself on blast like that.
Good move. Never snitch on yourself. Never snitch on yourself. Good job.
We had a good time at Muskegon. Let's just put it that way.
Enough said. Hey, Kyle, did you want to throw anything about the ESPN or the Fox deal with WWE?
I don't know, man. I think if anything, the UFC, the ESPN thing doesn't shock me. I kind of felt like they were going to do that for a while because you could increasingly see more and more UFC stuff being shown there than ever really was shown there before, if right. that makes sense.
Right.
Because, like, even I would say 5 years ago, I mean, even though UFC was big, like, you would see it on ESPN, but only when it was really, like, a big fight.
Right.
So I kind of figured the more that you kept seeing them, like, once Conor's rise started to come, like, I'm not surprised by that. But as far as WWE goes, I think it's good that they're on two separate networks. I mean, A, obviously it made them a shit ton of money. B, it further exposes, you know, WWE even more than it already is. So, in my opinion, dude, I don't think I don't think it's a bad thing. And like Tony was saying, I mean, at the end of the day, you can hate on Vince all you want, but this dude is still making money hand over fist. So clearly he knows what the fuck he's doing.
Hand over fist sounds like masturbation.
What the fuck?
Wow.
I just completely forgot
my whole train of thought. But I think it's a great deal. And one thing I really like about it is the fact that, you know, with the brand split, you know, you had SmackDown and Raw basically on the same network, you know, day after each other. Now, I feel like it kind of feels more like a real brand split now. And now it really feels like there's two separate brands now. One is on the USA, which has been there forever. And now SmackDown is going to be on not just, you know, with the Fox family. It's going to be on the network. Like, everybody's going to be able to get
on FSN?
From what I was reading, it's going to be on the main network.
On Fox, too? Like, the news? Like,
yeah, it's going to be on Fox.
No shit.
Yeah. So they're going to be on broadcast TV for the first time since
then
what?
SmackDown was on UPN.
Yeah. So
UPN don't really count. I mean, people in Detroit, we all who know, the only channels that really counted that you got good on the antenna was 2, 4, and 7. Sometimes WB. Like, UPN was always tripping. 56 was always tripping. CBS was even tripping.
You got Channel 9, man. You got the Canadian channel pretty good, man. Channel 9, CBC.
We ain't Canadian.
See, you had a good ass antenna. You were getting WADL TV 38.
Hell yeah.
68 and all that shit.
Channel 32, all that. All that good stuff.
He used to watch ECW back in 97.
Hell yeah, I did that too.
Man, but no, I think this is a great move, man. And I'm a person, I give Vince McMahon flack, but when it comes down to the business of things, man, he takes care of that shit. He's very innovative, man. To have, you know, his two brands on two different networks, the Greatest Royal Rumble, he got 20 million off of that. He's securing the bag, man. He's definitely getting that money.
He got the keys. It's Vinnie Mac. Vince McMahon know what he's doing. I want to go to the McMahon School of Business. I'm trying to get my BA in the McMahon business right there.
Speaking of money, Drew, this is a good question for you. You know, as you've seen, I'm sure at this point, Ronda Rousey came in and made a fuck ton of money coming to WWE. And we just found out this past week that she's going to be wrestling Nia Jax in Chicago at Money in the Bank for the title. What are your thoughts on Ronda's transition over to WWE? And do you think she'll ever fight again?
Well, not just Ronda's transition. You got Matt Riddle. You got Tom
Waller. I'll get to that. Because Ronda was the big one in the news.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, she helped pave through the whole women's MMA thing, you know, which was huge, you know, that. But, like, it was skill-wise, you know, I was like, there's got to be somebody out there better than her, you know, because, like, she lacked a lot of the basic fundamental skills, you know. Her judo's obviously world-class.
Right.
You know, and her ground game is world class. You know, but when it comes like to stand up, she lacked basic fundamentals, and I knew there had to be somebody out there to take her out. You know, but with her pre-fight antics and whatnot, it was only a matter of time before she went to WWE. You know, you knew they were going to pick that up. You know, because it's like she sells her fight so well. She's got this "I'm a bad bitch" attitude. You know, and you knew Vince or whoever was going to pick that up, like. That sells, and people loved watching Ronda Rousey win or lose. They loved watching her fight, and they loved watching her wrestle. That's the money. That it was very smart picking her up.
But, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week, as far as UFC not really having superstars like they used to. You know, with the, you know, John Jones and the Chuck Liddells, and even guys like Chael Sonnen, who just love to talk a good game and have that star presence and star quality. Do you see that in anybody in the UFC now? And do you think that, you know, that is something that MMA needs?
I mean, first off, just give it a couple months and I'll be there. So
good answer.
I got it from there. But with the superstar, you know, of course you got Conor, you know, he talks it, he backs it up, you know. Even with, what's his name? Al Kuke, whatever. You know, he might say some crazy shit, but he backs up Kevin Lee. You know, Kevin Lee talks, but he backs it up. You know, that's the biggest thing is, you know, talking, you back it up. Chael Sonnen talked, and like sometimes he backed it up. Right. You know, like it was, like, you know, it was here and there. But the biggest superstars, you know, if you can, obviously, you know, Cody Stamen, he's on his way. You know, he's right there. You know, and that's huge. No, not only for it's big. He's got superstar written all over him. You know, and that's big for Mission MMA as well. You know, another fighters I like. I like that Yair Rodriguez dude, but then UFC just cut him.
Yeah, they did. I don't understand that one.
They said it was because he said he wouldn't fight somebody.
I guess it's like, you know, like the UFC, they give you, from what I've heard, you know, I was down in Chicago, down there training at Top Notch last week, and they were saying how the UFC will give you an opponent. You say no, they'll give you another one. If you say no on that, then you're done. Like, they give you, like, two options, and that's pretty much it. You know, and I was like, oh, okay. So, I mean.
So how do you explain the Diaz brothers?
You know, the
they're the Diaz brothers.
But the Diaz brothers sell.
Oh, okay. You know, so as long as you're a star, you can turn out whatever.
People buy pay-per-views. You put a Diaz on a pay-per-view, people are going to buy it and watch it.
That's true.
Kind of simple.
That's true.
You know.
Cash rules everything around me. Yep. You know,
oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, with that Rodriguez dude, Yair, he had superstar qualities, but, you know, like, he wasn't going to sell yet. You know, and yeah, I don't know. I mean, but it's pretty simple. You know, if you make money, UFC's not going to cut you. You know, you look back at what happened with Conor, the whole bus incident. Whether it be it was set up or staged or not, which I don't think it was, because why would you put risk, the health and life at risk of the fighters? But I don't think it was set up by the UFC. But anybody else, they would have been cut. If it was somebody that was below the superstardom that Conor McGregor was, they would have been cut. You know, but the point, Conor put the asses in the seats. You know, he's going to sell millions, you know, every time he fights. Plain and simple.
I got a question now. As far as MMA goes and, like, the sport itself, who do you think will win a fight between MC Hammer and Arsenio Hall?
What the fuck?
I don't know. MC Hammer, I guess.
Throwing curveballs. Hey, Jesus, hey. God.
I think Hammer
would
walk all up and down Arsenio's
ass. Straight up. Hey, if you've seen MC Hammer dance, the man's got some footwork. You know, he's got good footwork. So, I mean, that's a big part in fighting. So, I guess, you know, you can give it to MC Hammer on that one.
Wait. Are we seriously breaking down a fight between MC Hammer and Arsenio Hall right now? Is this really happening?
I think Hammer got them hands, bro. He's from Oakland.
Hey,
good night, everybody.
Only here on Knockouts and Three Counts, you get a breakdown of MC Hammer versus Arsenio Hall. This is great. I'm sorry. Go ahead, guys.
So, Drew, before we came on the air, we were talking a little bit about how you were saying you had watched as a kid. Like, what were some of the things you remember as far as WWE goes from when you were growing up?
Or WCW.
WCW, too.
WCW. I was a huge Sting fan. Like, uh-oh. I was in for Halloween, Pain in the Face. I liked, Rey Mysterio. Is he over in WWE now?
Yeah. Well, he's all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked Juventud Guerrero.
Oh, Juventud.
I liked
the Juice.
Yeah, Juventud. Yeah. But the X-Pac, when he went, but I liked him before when he was WCW, that Six-Pac, whatever his name was, Six-Pac, whatever.
Yep.
I was a big fan of him. For some reason, in a weird way, I liked Raven. You know, I don't know.
Oh, and Raven then, was great.
There's another dude. I forgot. He wore the white beater all the time with the long hair.
Billy Kidman?
His name, though.
Billy Kidman.
Yes. Yeah, I was a fan of his as well. I love the NWO Wolfpack. That was, like, my shit. I rocked the, you know, the red and black, you know. But I don't know. That's what I remember, this, you know, from back then. You know, it was those days, you know. I knew some of the WWF fighters when it was WWF. So, like, I followed WCW more than I did WWF at the time.
Wait, you said you
I
went
a quick question for you. I mean,
hey, Tony, real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
You said you went a Sting for Halloween. Were you like Rainbow Sting or were you Emo Sting?
Emo Sting.
I was Emo Sting, man. I was Emo Sting.
All right, just had to ask it. Go ahead, Tony.
How long we got? Because I got a couple questions.
We got about 4 minutes.
Damn, all right.
All right, so I'll make this quick. All right, did you, before, as far as, I know you did boxing before you got into MMA, Did you really only have one amateur bout before going pro in MMA?
No, I had 29 amateur but MMA fights.
29? Okay.
Well, I see one against I see one against Shane Poole where you knocked him out in 5 seconds in the first round.
It was actually 3, but yeah.
That's crazy.
I was literally about to ask, how do you have 29 amateur fights, but when you knock a motherfuckers out in 3 seconds, that's how you have 29 fights?
I guess, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I had a lot longer amateur career than expected, but, you know, I wanted to make sure I was ready to go pro.
That makes sense.
Go ahead, Tony.
Your first pro fight was against Hector Garcia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that being a King of the Cage, it's kind of like a... Well, King of the Cage, I don't know how that... That name is familiar with me. That name rings bell with me. I've heard of it. I've seen it places. Was there any nervousness going into that? With the Well, one of my questions, I guess, would be, is King of the Cage one of the bigger name promotions to work for? And having the nervousness going into that fight, how did everything pan out for you as far as how you thought it would go versus amateur?
I mean, I've wrestled, you know, I've been wrestling national finals and stuff. I've wrestled in front of thousands, you know, I've boxed in front of thousands. You know, to me, it wasn't, a lot of people get nervous about the crowd or the big promotion. I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on what's in front of me. And to be honest, like, you can't see the crowd when you're in there. Those lights are so damn bright in there. The crowd is pitch black out there. Like, it's just so bright that you're focused on what's in front of you, you know. And I was well trained for that fight. You know, I knew a lot about Hector because my brother previously fought him. So actually, about a couple months before that, my brother fought him. So I knew quite a bit about Hector going into that fight, if I remember correctly. My brother beat him, and then I made my pro debut against him a couple months later.
Nice. Hey, Drew, before we get out of here, man, you got any words for your opponent June 15th?
No.
He's like, nope.
Tell him you're going to knock him off on my birthday.
Well, you know, we always give fighters that opportunity, but why don't you go ahead and tell people about the event, and are you selling tickets?
Yes. Okay. I have tickets, so you get at me on social media. I'll get them out to you. You know, I bounce around between Fuse and Joe's Boxing Club in Monroe. Fuse is in Clinton Township, so we can – meet up somewhere along the way for new tickets. It's June 15th at the Southgate Civic Center in Southgate, Michigan. Start times 6-7, more likely 8.
I was about to say they never started.
I'm co-main event as far as I know, so I'll be playing a little bit later. But if you guys need tickets or any questions, feel free to reach out to me. Anybody wants to talk to me, just reach out. I always message back. Might take me a little time, but I'll message back. And that's it.
And go ahead and throw your social media out there and your sponsors.
All right. Social media, Facebook's Drew Murray, M-R-A-I-S. Instagram, Drew_Allday_Murray. Snapchat's Allday145. Sponsors, Grizz. Grizz Outdoor Adventures, Every Victory Earned, Anthony Fire Rise Realty, and Cage in the Cave. And that'd be it.
All right.
Also, a big shout out to my team, of course.
And Fuse, what team MMA. Is that?
Fuse MMA. And also my boxing team, Joe's Boxing Club out of Monroe.
All right, Drew, thank you for joining us on the show, man. Definitely, like I said, I'll be out in Chicago that day, but Kyle will definitely be there to support and show some love from knockouts and 3 counts. Tony.
That's me.
Go ahead and throw your social media out there. Get your plugs. Get your shit in, man. Get your shit in.
Hey, yo, I don't even know if I'm wrestling this Saturday, but if I am, go on my Facebook and look for it. Adam Nielsen, fuck you. I mean, Adam Nielsen is such a nice guy. I just want people to know, in 2009, Adam Nielsen started a project to help children in need. As a matter of fact, he was raising young orphan white boys on 90s R&B, and the project was called Backstreet Boys to Men. It was a huge success. Thank you, Adam Nielsen, for raising white orphan boys on 90s R&B. You are amazing.
What the fuck?
Did you say Street Boys to Men?
Backstreet Boys to Men. Get it right. You got it. Backstreet Boys to Men. That was the name of the project. Backstreet Boys to Men. the views and opinions expressed by this, Tony Thunder, not necessarily those of Knockouts and Three Counts or Podcast Detroit.
Holy shit.
Adam Nelson saved 12 baby kittens just this past Tuesday in Hawaii. Lava can't fucks with Adam Nelson.
Tony. Please plug your social media.
Lava ain't got shit on Adam Nielsen. My Instagram is at Adam Nielsen. My Facebook is Adam Nielsen. That's N-I-E-L-S-E-N. Follow me on Facebook at General Manager, GM of EHF or something like that. I'm Adam Nielsen.
What the fuck?
What the hell are we doing? What are we doing?
I don't know what the fuck just happened.
Kyle, please plug your social media.
Shit. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit N-O-K-O-U-T on Instagram and Twitter. Follow us at Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast, the page on Facebook, at KO3CPod on Twitter and Instagram, at KO3CPod.com. And, yeah, you can find me on Facebook at Kyle Collison. And fuck your couch.
Oh, my God. So
Devin's going to die, and it's all Tony's fault. So if you don't see Devin next week, blame Tony.
You can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's D-E-V-I-N-T-H-E-6-3. Hit me up on Instagram at AllSteakNoSizzle. That's one word. If you're looking for a car, check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com when you go to make your purchase. Use the reference code 19309. That's 19309. And you will receive $500 off on your purchase. And a shout out to Adam Nielsen, man. Doing good work.
Adam Nielsen.
You're doing doing good work, sir.
Adam Nielsen makes the best ever corned beef cabbage casserole I've ever had. You put a little bit of mustard on it, you'll love your life. Thank you, Adam Nielsen, for taking your shoestrings out and playing the greatest game of single man double dutch I've ever seen in my life with your own shoestrings. You're amazing.
And thanks once again to our guest, Drew, for joining us on the show. I'm trying to keep it professional, but I can't.
I had a good time.
Appreciate you, man.
I'm going to get with you about some tickets, too.
I would say our show normally doesn't go like this, but it normally does go like this. So with all that being said, we'll check.
That was awesome. Thank you.
Look, bro, describe our show as an informed clusterfuck. That's pretty much a good, accurate description.
Sounds like a fucking story of my life.
All right, people, let's get out of here. With all that being said, we'll see you guys next week.
Fuck your couch!
Peace.